Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Luke, the 9th chapter of the book of Luke. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm going to start reading at chapter 9, verse number 57. Came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I'm going to stop there a moment. They had a volunteer come and said, I'll follow you, Jesus. Make a difference where it is. I'll follow you. And Jesus said to him what he said in verse number 58, and you don't ever hear any more of this man. Now, I don't know what happened, but you don't hear any more of him. And he said unto another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Once again, I don't know what this man did. I don't know whether he went and preached the kingdom of God or went and buried his daddy. I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go, bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, once again, I thank you so much today for your wonderful grace, your goodness, your kindness, and I thank you so much for the scripture, the word of God. And I ask you today is help this preacher. You know what his needs are, Father, and I ask you to help me. And Lord, I certainly need your wisdom. I need your power. Lord, I need it from you. And I ask you, God, to help as we preach this message, that you will be honored and glorified. And Lord, should there be any here this morning that's unsaved, God, my prayer is that you would deal mightily with them concerning their need of salvation. Father, my prayer is you'd convict them of their sin. And Lord, they'd understand their need to be saved and born again, and their sins need to be washed in the blood of Christ. I pray for we as your children that you'd help us this morning too, Lord, in this message. God, you'd help us to be what we should be. And Lord, where we fail, that Lord, we'll strengthen those areas, or let you strengthen those areas in our life. And once again, the perfect will be, of God be done, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to preach a message this morning, which I've entitled, Procrastinate. I don't suppose there's probably anybody here who's ever done that. The word procrastinate, it means to belonging to the morrow. In other words, putting off doing something until a future time. To postpone or defer taking action. Now, I see some smiles. I don't know what area of life that it is with you, but you have some area of life where you have a tendency, more than likely, to procrastinate. And some folk just do that in every area of their life. They just procrastinate. There's a lot of folk that put off doing things. I see, you know, I don't want to tell who or anything like that, but I notice in our school every year, we see some procrastinators concerning their schoolwork. They think they can get it done tomorrow what they ought to be done today. And so they procrastinate and they put off getting their assignment for this day, and they try to get it done in the next week, hopefully, somewhere. But they are procrastinators. And then, of course, there's some folk, I don't want to mention names, but there's some folk that don't get their taxes sent out till the day of taxes are due. You know, they do that. I've been told that. When it comes to taxes, I'm one of those fellows. I want mine done way ahead of time. I don't know why, but I just want it done. It's a frustration. I don't like taxes, and I just want it out of my way. But I don't always get it done ahead of time. Some folk wait till midnight to mail their thing. You know, Other people, you know, you can go by their house and you can tell they procrastinated in mowing their grass. It's up here like this, and they haven't. No, there's somebody living there. They just haven't mowed their grass, and they procrastinate. There's some ladies that do that with their dishes. Amen. Should I park there or should I wait a while? They wait until the last dish is dirty. Amen. And then they begin to wash, feverishly wash dishes, you see. And sometimes they do that with their cleaning of their house. And sometimes men do that with the cleaning of their garage and things like that, you know. And sometimes young people taking out trash. I mean, it's overrunning the trash container onto the floor, and all at once, yeah, that needed to be taken out, didn't it? You know, so it's just procrastination, and we kind of put off things that we ought to do today until tomorrow. Well, I think Christ deals with procrastination here in this portion of Scripture. It's a group of people. It's three different people who put off. Evidently, they put off. We are not real sure, but he certainly speaks to them about the subject that they need to do what he's asked them to do right now. And there's things that we need to never put off when it comes to the things of the Lord. Salvation is something that never should be put off. I could just sit here and tell you stories. I'll probably mention one or two, but I could tell you stories of people who just put off salvation. And just put it off until it's too late. And they just wait too late. And so when they die, they just go to hell because they put off salvation. They even sometimes indicate they would like to be saved. They know they ought to be saved, but they just put it off. Boy, it's dangerous. You don't want to put off salvation. You want to let God deal with your heart. And not just salvation. In obedience to the Lord, we're going to talk about some of these things. But obedience to the Lord, we ought not to put off obeying God. That's a dangerous thing, to put off obeying God Almighty. Amen. So I'm going to take you over to the portion of Scripture. Here we have people, and I'll look at that. He just said, "He said, I'll follow you wherever you go." First man said, "Don't make a difference where you go. I'll follow you." And Jesus says, "There's foxes have holes and birds of the air have a nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He said, "You know what you're talking about?" He said, "Do you realize what you're going to have to give up? You're going to follow me. You know what?" He said, "Foxes have holes. I don't even have a hole to live in." He said, "I don't have a nest to stay in." He didn't have a house. He didn't have his own place. He didn't have any of those things. Now he said, "You know for sure what you're talking about when you say you're going to follow me? Are you willing to give up on these things and just follow me no matter what it is?" He also said, "Follow me," but he said, "Oh, I want to go back and bury my father." And he said, in other words, he wanted to go back and take care of some things back home and attend to some things back home. I don't think his daddy had just about died. Well, I don't think that for one minute. What he's saying is, when my daddy dies, then I'll come follow you. He was going to put off. No. When God wants you, he said, "You let the dead bury the dead. You come, you follow me now." He put it off. "Wait till I get things taken care of." And that's another man here. He said, "Let me go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house." He said, "I got to go and tell everybody goodbye." He said, "I got to spend some time with my family and tell them goodbye." He said, "Let me go do that." He said, no, you follow me. He said, "If you put your hand to the plow," he said, "you're not worthy of the kingdom of God if you look back. So when I call, it's time to go." Right then. Amen. So what they were procrastinators. They were putting off that which they knew God wanted for them to do, and they was putting that off to a later date. "I'll do it some other time down the road." I want to take you over to the book of Hebrews, please. The book of Hebrews, the third chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 7. He says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if ye will hear his voice, One of the things you don't want to put off is the hearing of the voice of God. When God speaks, you want to listen. And that's what he said in verse number one. He says, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. You know, the hearing of God's voice and the putting off of listening and minding what God says comes with it the hardening of a heart. You may not understand this, but it's through the scripture. Whenever you turn down God and you will not listen to God, the heart gets harder. It becomes easier and easier to say no to God. That's true with sin. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but that's true with sin. The more often you do a sin, the easier it becomes. And your heart becomes harder concerning that sin. You hear what I'm saying? So he says, today is the day when you ought to hear the voice of God. And he says, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You see, they would not listen to God. They would not hear God. And they had an evil heart of unbelief. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you hear what God's saying? See, the deceitfulness of sin will harden your heart. You continue in sin. You continue, and your hearts get harder. It becomes easier to stay in that sin. And he says, but exhort one another. When it's called today, he said, do it today. And he says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, he is quoting back from Psalms, the book of Psalms, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. What God is saying is that when he speaks, you better listen. You see, we've got this thing in our mind that, you know, God will just keep speaking. God will just keep after us and after us and after us, keep speaking. Well, I want you to know something. There comes a time when God won't keep speaking. There comes a time when God's done speaking. He's spoken of. He said it over and over. You know, in all seriousness. I don't understand it all. I'll admit, I don't understand it all. But I know over the last 4, 5, 6 months, God has put messages through this pulpit in warning people about putting off getting saved, putting off walking with God and minding God. He's done it over and over and over. You might not remember, but I do. I'm the one that preached them. Pastor Jerry's preached some of them. And God is warning, God is saying it. But you know, there comes a time when God quits speaking. He said it enough. And we've said no to him enough. And so he just gets quiet. God just gets quiet. I'm saying, God says, the day is the day to hear the voice of God. Today's the day. God's speaking, then you ought to listen to his voice. That's what he's saying. Over in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, you can turn there if you want, but I'm going to read you one verse of scripture. Here's what God says. 51st chapter of Isaiah. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Now what the word of God says is, when do you want to seek the Lord? Now you and I know, if you know the scriptures, it's not a matter of us first seeking him. He is always seeking us. It's him that calls unto us. But we ought to listen to that call and seek him and seek what it is he wants. And we ought to do it while he is near. We better do it while he is speaking to us and seeking us and drawing us unto himself. We had better do it. I read here a while back, there's a book out, and it's called the Sayings of the Dead as They Were Dying, the Saved and the Unsaved. And I remember reading not too long back, I was reading one of those accounts of this man who basically was claimed to be an atheist. claimed to be most of his life, did not believe God, would not listen to anybody. Over and over and over had people come to him and try to tell him about the Lord, over and over and over. And in fact, if the account was given, that there was one time he even hit a guy that came to him and was telling him about how to be saved, and he just drawed back and hit him. He was so mad. And each time he would just get mad when somebody would tell him about the Lord. This went on and on and on, and finally it came to the time when he was nearing death, and he was at home, and his wife begged one more time if he would let somebody come and talk to him. He agreed to that, and this preacher came, and a couple of other people from the church came, and they began to talk to him. And he said, you know what? And he warned. They said he warned everybody around him not to do as he did, because he had waited and waited and waited. And so they'd done everything they could to explain to him how to be saved. And he said, you know what? And he turned his face toward the wall, and he said, it's too late. He said it three times. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late. You know, now you say, well, Brother Ross, don't you think God was willing to save him if he... You know what? There wasn't true repentance. No, he was sorry. He was sorry that he never got saved. He was sorry about this. But you know what? He had turned the Holy Spirit off a long time ago. He had told the Holy Spirit to get on your way a long time ago. You see, we think that all at once, just because we can choose the timing when we decide we're going to listen to God. It didn't work that way. And God says, you better listen, you better seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen. Calling you up on him while he's near. Amen? You see, if you go back, and I don't think I'll take it for sake of time, but you go back to the book of Proverbs, and I wish you would go back and read that first chapter of the book of Proverbs. Well, let me read a few verses. I've got it marked here. A few verses in chapter 1. He says, how long, God speaking, wisdom speaking, says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And listen to what he says. Because I've called and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. Since when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all of my reproof. See, mankind thinks they can just tell God no right up to the last minute. And right at the last minute, they can say, God, please have mercy upon me. Listen, you better remember all the times that God was near to you calling you. You better listen to him. See, if you don't know that you're saved today, you better get saved. Because God's going to give you an opportunity today to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he would save you. He loves you. He wants you saved. But there comes a time, he says, you better listen while I'm near. See, he don't send preachers like myself and other preachers to preach the word of God and warn people about salvation just for fun. And you can say no to him. I still remember it. I go up and down this road. I travel this road to my home, State Road 59. Practically every day, I drive down this road. You get through the junction here, you go up the ways. There's a little brown-sided house, an old house. If you ever noticed, the little brown-sided house up there on the right-hand side. There's no one living there now. There used to be a man by the name of Mr. Kent that lived there. I don't remember how many times I was in Mr. Kent's house showing him how to be saved. And each time he would say to me, well, maybe someday. An old man. In fact, I always looked at him and wanted to call him Zacchaeus because he was only about that tall. He was an old fella. And he'd tell me, someday, yeah, I know I should. Someday. I heard that I don't know how many times. And as far as I know, he died without Christ. As far as I know. It was just always someday. See, he had pride in him. He didn't want to do this, didn't want to do that. You see, I'm just saying to you folks, while God is near speaking, you better listen. You better not put it off. You better not procrastinate. You better listen to God while he is near speaking to you. You ought to listen to him. You ought to answer his call. I want to give you another verse of scripture. You can write it down if you wish, but it's in Jeremiah, the 13th chapter, the 16th verse. And I want to read it to you. He says, give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountain. God says, you better give glory to the Lord before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountain. You better do it in your youth. You better do it while you have a chance. You know, I hear it and I see this. I see it even in Christians. I see it in unsaved people. What they want God to have is the thorn of their life. They do not want him to have the rose. One of these days when they get, you know, I mean, retired and they don't have anything else to do, then they'll serve God. In other words, God, you can have the thorn. I have the rose. I live the way I want to live. Now, God, I'm free. Aren't you happy that I'll be glad to do a few things for you now? Baloney. God says, you better listen, you better hear before darkness comes. Before your foot stumbles upon the dark mountain. Why are you giving God just the leftovers of your life? While you're young is when you ought to give your heart to God. Young people, give your heart to God when you're young. Be saved when you're young. And serve God when you're young, giving the strength of your youth. Down here having a work day yesterday, and I was sure glad for the strength of the youth. I mean, they come into my office there, and I'd say, move that, and they just pick it up. They didn't have any trouble at all. I was stumbling all over the place, and they just picked it up, just moved it, you know. Why? They're young. Got strength. That's when you ought to serve God. When you got strength. When you're young. Amen. Don't put off serving God. Don't give him just that thorn that's left over. Give him the rose of your life. Serve God while you still have opportunity to serve God. Because you may not have it. I won't tell you days, things can just change in a moment's time. Two and a half weeks ago, I got up feeling pretty good. Before the morning was over, I was in intensive care in the hospital. My body's weak. Can't do like I used to do. Hopefully I'll gain some of that back, but I can't do like I used to do. I had all these plans. I went out this spring, and I told Donna, I said, I've got a lot of things I want to do this summer. I've got a lot of things to get done around the house here. Got to get them done. And I did a lot of them. I went out early, didn't I, honey? Got some things done. I got some things done and I'm thankful I got them done. You know, because right now I don't have much strength to do it. See, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You just don't know. While you've got opportunity, do it now. While you've got opportunity, while you've got strength, do it now. Serve God now. You might wake up tomorrow and you may not ever be able to serve him again. What you want to do? Wait till you're an old man, you can't do anything, and then you want to say, oh, here I am, God. Baloney. Let's give him the very best of our life. Amen. The very best of our life, you see. Glorify God now with your life. Not down the road. And then you think you're going to glorify God. But do it now. While there's opportunity. Do it when you're young. And even do it when you still have life. You don't know how long that's going to be, folks. Amen. Don't procrastinate. Don't put off serving God. Do it now. Why don't you turn with me over in Psalms, the 119th chapter of Psalms. 119th Psalm, verse number 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Psalmist said, I delayed not. I made haste. I delayed not to keep my commandments. You know the best time to start obeying God? It's right now. You know what God says in his word. You folks been around here long enough. You know what God says. You've heard preaching of the word of God most of your lives. You know what God says. You know what he says in his commandments, what you ought to do and what you ought not to do, don't you? Then why are you delaying keeping the commandments of God? The psalmist here, he said, no, I made haste. He said, I'm not going to delay to keep your commandments. You know what God was looking for? He's looking for first-time obedience. He's looking when you find out something in the word of God that that's what you're supposed to do, you do it. You just mind it. Don't delay in keeping the commandments of God. Young people, don't look at life and say, well, I gotta, you hear even older folks, I want to sow some wild oats and wild seed first, and then I'll go, oh, shame on you. I want to do this, I want to do that before I really serve God. Shame on you. You keep the commandments of God now. Amen. You know what it means to be pure. You stay pure. You know what the word of God says. You don't even need this preacher telling you. You've heard it so many times. You know what is right. Now you keep the commandments of God. See, the psalmist said, he said, no. He said, I made haste. Amen. He said, I'm not going to slack on the word of God. I'm going to do what God said. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what God said. Amen. I'm saying to you, now listen to me. You hear God, don't you put off obeying God's commandments. You obey God's commandments. Okay? I want you to listen over in Exodus 22nd chapter, 29th verse. I want you to listen to what God said. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of the ripe fruit. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. You're not to delay to make an offering unto the Lord. We'll talk about this in a few moments. But folks, now's the time to make an offering unto the Lord. Now's the time to do it. I've told people all down through my preaching years, most foolish thing you ever hear is, well, so-and-so, they can't afford to tithe. They can't do this. They can't do this. Well, shame on you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. What do you mean you can't afford to give to God? You ought to make an offering unto the Lord. You do that according to the scripture in 1 Corinthians 16 chapter. You do that the first day of every week. That's Sunday. God says to do that. And he says, I'm not going to delay to offer the first of the ripe fruits. I'm not going to delay in doing it. I'm not going to put off in doing it. I'm not going to procrastinate. I remember a time back in our earlier years. Donna and I, we was having financial trouble. I mean, a lot of financial trouble. We tithed. We done everything. And I felt like, though, we sold our place. Brother Dave Livick, where you live, when we sold that, I'm just going to tell you, it's been a lot of years, so it don't matter. We took $2,000 out of that money that you gave us on that place, and we put it into the church. And the reason we done that, it wasn't we hadn't tithed, but we just didn't feel like we'd really give offerings like we should. I just didn't feel right about it. I just didn't think I'd done right. And I wanted to give more than just my tithe. And we was really having a hard time financially. But when we sold that place, we took $2,000 and we put it into the church. Why? Because I believe God wanted me to. And I don't think he was pleased with us not making more offerings along the way. And I apologized to him and told him I was sorry and I wanted to make up for it. Do you hear me? You don't want to delay in doing right with the Lord and giving offerings unto the Lord. You see, that's silliness. You see, God don't want you to. God wants you to do it now. Amen. You know, you made something this week. You see, they want to blame it on preachers. They want to say, well, preachers always hollering about money. I'm not hollering about money, folks. I'm hollering about being right with God. I'm hollering out, you know, there could be so much done in Christianity today if people just give like God tells them to give. They give their tithes and their offerings like God says to do. They do it cheerfully because God said to do it. They wouldn't rob God. That's robbing God. Robbing God. There's people who's done that for years and years and years. They've never given of that which God has given them. Never given it to the Lord. Never done it. Just robbed God. Oh, shame, shame, shame. You see, that gets in even on our vows. Over in Deuteronomy, I want to read something to you from Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter, 21st verse. Listen to what he says. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it should be sin, and it would be sin in thee. I want to tell you, when we make a vow unto God, we better pay that vow. You know what? God says the Lord is going to surely require it of us. Vow to God to stay pure. And I want to tell you, you better keep that vow. Now, I want to say something to you. For some reason, if you've not kept that vow, get on your knees and ask God's forgiveness and beg God's forgiveness and say, I'll go on from here, God. I won't ever go back again. And I'm sorry, and I ask God to forgive me. And God is a forgiving God, but what I'm saying to you is he hasn't given up on you, but he expects you to keep the vow that you made. Amen. You made a vow to stay pure, you stay pure. Amen. Amen. You made a vow to serve God, and be in the service of the Lord, then you ought to serve God. Amen. That's just not for full-time service. That's just for the fact that you ought to serve God. You say, Lord, I want to serve you the rest of my life. I may not be a preacher, may not be a missionary, but I want to serve you the rest of my life. You ought to keep that vow. God expects you to. You say, God, I want to be a witness for the Lord. I want to hand out tracts. I want to tell people about Jesus. God listened to that vow, and you better keep it. Many times, I don't want to say many, 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 but there's been times when I've went to the Lord and said, Lord, I know for sure I was supposed to speak to that person about the Lord, and I didn't do it. And I got down on my knees, and I asked God to forgive me, cleanse me of that sin, because it is sin. We're supposed to be witnesses for the Lord. Told the Lord we're going to pray. We don't do it. I'm just going to go back to that a moment. We told the Lord a long time ago, we're going to tithe, and we don't tithe. We just rob God. Shame, shame, shame. God requires it of us. Amen? God requires it of us. Now, you say, what's the motive, Brother Ross, for not procrastinating? First of all, I just want to tell you, today God says it's the accepted time. Whenever God says something is acceptable today, that means you ought not to procrastinate. You ought to do it today. You see, that's the way it is with salvation. Today is the accepted time. You can say, I'm not saved today, but I'm going to put it off to tomorrow. But you're going against the word of God when you do that. God says today is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, today. God wants you saved today. Don't know whether you have a tomorrow or not. See, the present time is the accepted time. That's when it's accepted. The Bible says, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. What's the matter with serving God and turning to God in your youth instead of waiting till you're old? Amen? See, that's what we ought to give God. We ought to give God our youth, and we ought to give God our old age. Old age is not ours. Retirement's not a place where we can just do what we want to do. We're supposed to still serve God. Giving fully everything we have. Amen. So I say to you, what's the motive? Well, today's the accepted time. Today's the day. Now's the time. Not only that, the uncertainty of life. You see, a good motive to get things right now is the uncertainty of life. You don't know if you're going to live tomorrow. You hear me? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just simply telling you the truth. You do not know if you're going to wake up in the morning. You just don't know that, you see. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Hasn't there been in your lifetimes when you got up and wasn't expecting what come along your way that day? Has there been some hard, difficult times, and all at once you maybe end up in the hospital and you say, what happened? Well, you didn't know. You don't want to boast yourself of tomorrow because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So I'm saying to you, there's the uncertainty of life. We do not know how long we're going to live. We don't want to put off doing right. We don't want to put off getting saved. We don't want to put off doing right and serving God because we don't know if we got another day to do it. Amen. You remember when Ananias and Sapphira got up that day and they went there to the church meeting where they was all meeting and preaching was going on and all these things. And evidently Peter was preaching and Ananias and Sapphira came and they brought some gifts and laid it down at the apostles' feet. They didn't even walk out of that preaching service, but they died. God took them both because they lied to the Holy Spirit of God. Do you think when they got up that morning that's what they was expecting? No, I don't think so. No, they didn't know what the day was going to bring. You remember when Lazarus and the rich man both died? For as I know, I guess they died at the same time. It seems like they died at the same time, maybe same day. Lazarus died. He was the beggar sitting at the rich man's gate. The rich man died. Do you think probably that morning they got up and said, well, this is going to be the day I'm going to die? That rich man, I'm sure he didn't do that. He was living sumptuously. He had everything. Supposedly. Now, I'm sure he didn't get up and say that I'm going to die today, but he did. Right. What I'm just simply saying to you folks, listen, the uncertainty of life is with every one of us. We just don't know whether we're going to live another day or not. I think about Lot back there in Sodom a lot of times and how he was lingering. The Bible said he was lingering. He didn't want to leave Sodom. You know, he didn't understand, although he was told, he didn't understand that in just a little while that place is going to be covered with ashes. I mean, you know, a fire and brimstone was going to fall and cover it and destroy it. And here he was lingering around. What I'm saying is he didn't realize and understand that that was going to be the day that all those folk, all those people in that town and that surrounding areas and those plains was going to die. And the angel of God finally got him out of town. You understand what I'm saying? See, you don't know what's going on tomorrow. You don't know what's going on the rest of this day. I can testify to it. You don't know. Amen? Listen to this. I'm going to read this to you. We'll close. Back in Acts 24 chapter, Felix sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know what Felix was saying? He was procrastinating. He said, I've heard what you preached. I heard what you said. But you go your way today. And when I get time, I'll give you a call. I'll have you come back and speak to me. And as far as we know in the scripture, that never ever happened. As far as we know in the scripture, Felix died without Christ. You know why? Because he put it off. He could have been saved that very day. When the Apostle Paul was preaching the word of God to him, he could have yielded unto the Holy Spirit of God and gotten saved. And he would have went to heaven. But instead he said, go your way, Paul, go your way. There'll be another time, a more convenient season. And there's people say that in every church service in America where the word of God is preached. Go your way, Holy Spirit. I know you're talking to me, but there's going to be a better season, a better time, more convenient time. No. No, you don't know that. What I'm saying to you is, if you're here today without Christ, don't you think it's today, today's the time to get saved? Don't you think the wisest thing you could do today is just yield your heart to the Lord and be saved today? Say yes to God today, and rather than the little story I told you earlier about that man who turns his face to the wall and cries out, it's too late, it's too late, it's too late. You think God's going to accept you on your terms? I'll guarantee you he's not. He's going to accept them on his terms. He'll accept you when you repent and turn to Christ and cry out for forgiveness and ask God to save you and realize you're an old lost sinner and you need saved. That's when God will accept you. Amen. He won't accept you till. Amen. So what I'm saying, wouldn't it be a wise thing to not procrastinate? Wouldn't it be a wise thing to just simply today to be saved? Give your heart and life to Christ today. Be born again. Make sure of your salvation. Christian, wouldn't it be the right proper thing today to say yes to God? God, I'll give you the rest of the rose of my life. I'm just going to give you my life. Whatever you want to do with it is okay with me. Amen. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Close your eyes. Say, Brother Ross, I'm here today and I'm not sure I'm saved. If I would die right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. But I heard the preaching of the Word of God today and I am concerned about that. I want you to pray for me. I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want you to understand it's serious business. Say, Brother Ross, would you just pray for me? That's all I'm asking you to do. Pray for me. Would you just raise your hand? Say, Brother Ross, pray for me. I'm not sure of salvation. Not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you just lift your hand, please? Someone. Say, Brother Ross, I heard the message today, and I'm a procrastinator. I put off serving God. I put off doing right, what God wants me to do, or even willing to just offer myself to the Lord. I haven't done that. But today, God's dealt with my heart, and would you just pray for me? Would you just lift your hand? Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Someone else. Thank you. God bless you. Someone else. So I just want you to pray for me. Someone, please. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else. Father, I thank you today for the wonderful, wonderful salvation you offer us. And Lord, should there be anyone here that's unsaved, God, I know that you're dealing with them right now. They've got doubt in their heart. I would pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit would overcome them and help them to understand they need to be saved today, not tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Please, God, deal with them. Help them to understand that. And then, Father, for those who raise their hand concerning service and just being what God wants them to be and to give their life completely over to the Lord, I pray for them. Ask you, God, to undertake for them, encourage their hearts, and guide and direct them. And, Father, we'll thank you for what you're going to do and what you've already done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.